Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Our sermon text for our meditation this morning is our gospel lesson for this first Sunday in Advent, recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 24th chapter, beginning at the 36th verse. I invite you to please rise for this reading. And Jesus speaks these words. No one knows when that day or hour will be, not the angels of heaven, not even the Son, but only the Father. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when the Son of Man returns. In fact, in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the very day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not realize what was coming until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be when the Son of Man returns. At that time, two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will be left. So be alert, because you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the master of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would have not let his house be broken into. You also need to be ready for this reason. The Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. Lord, these are your words, and therefore they are your truth. We ask that you'd increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. Dear fellow redeemed, what'd you do this weekend? I know that a lot of us celebrated Thanksgiving on Thursday, probably with family and friends, but what did you do the rest of the weekend? What'd you do on Friday and Saturday? Well, I know that I saw some of the members of our church out at a Christmas tree farm cutting down Christmas trees, getting ready for Christmas, and I'm guessing a lot of you probably did similar things. Whether it was cutting down a Christmas tree or setting one up in your living room or decorating the outside of your homes or maybe going shopping online or in person for gifts to give at Christmas, you probably were preparing for Christmas. And that's a good thing. It's good for us to get ready to celebrate our Savior's birth. But God invites us to prepare for something else in our lesson for today. Our lesson for today is all about Jesus' second coming, when he is going to return in glory on the final day, and he encourages us to prepare. You know, we might wonder, does it really matter if you prepare for Christmas? You know, when it comes to Christmas, you could forget about decorating and maybe forget about buying gifts and what's going to happen when that day arrives. Well, maybe there might be a few people, your family and friends, that are a bit disappointed. They didn't get the gift they were hoping for. And maybe it's not going to be quite as joyous as you had expected, but there's always next year, right? You can always prepare next year to celebrate Christmas. However, when it comes to Christ's return in glory, there are no second chances to prepare. And so God invites us today to be ready for Christ's return, because we don't know the day or the hour. To be ready as well, because it is going to be a day of judgment and salvation. What do you think things are going to be like as we get closer to the day of Christ's return? Probably expect to see things that are going to be indicators of that appearance of Christ, his second coming. You know, this time of year, it's hard not to know that Christmas is coming, right? Everywhere you go, in your neighborhood, on our city streets, at work, in the stores, even in church, it's obvious Christmas is coming. You don't have to have a calendar to know that it's coming soon. We also know the markers concerning Jesus' second coming. For us as Christians, we know what Jesus himself says before our text for today, as he lays out a number of those things to look for. So he mentions the signs in the heaven above and on the earth below, earthquakes and famine, war and rumors of war, false prophets that are going to appear, persecution of his people, all signs of the end of the times. But perhaps because of this, maybe we think that's the way it's going to be on the very last day when Jesus returns. I don't know about you, but I know for myself, after seeing so many apocalyptic movies or end-of-the-world kind of movies, I probably can imagine the last day is going to be something like this, that everybody's going to be tuned into their televisions, waiting in anticipation because there's an asteroid that's coming to hit the Earth, right? We're all ready to die. Or maybe it's going to take place when some country finally drops a nuclear bomb and everyone's waiting for the fallout. But that's not the way that day is described in our lesson for today. It's described as an ordinary Tuesday, or maybe better, an ordinary Friday, where you find people at work in the field, people at work at the mill, people enjoying themselves, eating and drinking, people proposing marriage, people at marriage celebrations, people going about their everyday lives. Just an ordinary day. That's the way it's described in God's word before us today. And Jesus wants us to remind us of this so that we can be ready. And yet he doesn't tell us the day or the hour when this is going to happen. We maybe wish he did, right? We know the day when we celebrate Christmas, it's always the same day every year, December 25th. And so what do we do as a result? People prepare, you know, a month in advance, maybe some 2 months in advance or so forth, because they know the day, they look forward to the day, they prepare for the day. So maybe we wish we had that lead time when it came to the final day, when Jesus is going to return in glory, because then we'd be ready, then we'd be prepared. But perhaps the reason we don't know, perhaps the reason because God doesn't reveal that day or hour to us is, of course, because he wants us to be prepared at all times. And the reality is when Jesus returns, we are going to meet our Maker in the judgment, but each and every one of us could meet him much sooner than that. Even if Jesus doesn't come again for another couple hundred years, any of us could go and meet our Maker today. Are we ready? Are we prepared for that? Now, Jesus describes the final day as it was in the days of Noah. It's interesting to think about that picture there of Noah and his family and then also the people of the world. That Noah heeded God's warning. God told him he was bringing his judgment upon the world. He was going to destroy everything. But God had a plan to spare him and his family. And so it was important that Noah and his family listen closely to God's words in preparation. But what was everyone else doing? Everyone else was simply going about their normal, everyday lives. I wonder if there's a danger for us in that, to maybe do the same sort of things. We'd say, but Pastor, we go to church every week. We maybe even do family devotions. We say our prayers before bedtime, but how do we consider those things? Is it just another thing in that long list of to-dos? Right alongside the soccer practice and basketball games and piano lessons and concerts to go to and vacations that we have to plan and prepare and our preparation and budgeting and needing to buy things, is it all just part of that list that we check it off? Yep, went to church this week. Yep, we did our family devotions. Yep, we said our prayers before bedtime. Let's move on to the next thing. How much time do we actually spend and how much focus do we have on those things? Just like in the days of Noah, God would encourage us, listen to me, listen to my words. Through these words, you are prepared for the judgment. And that's the way Jesus describes it in our lesson for today. Know what he says in verses 40 and 41. At that time, two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. He describes these pairs of people, two men and two women. What are they doing? Ordinary, everyday things, working in the field, working in the mill. Two people working side by side that no one could tell the difference between these two. And yet there is a difference. A difference that's going to be made known on the day when Christ returns in glory. And what difference is that? Well, Jesus tells us in John chapter 3, The one who believes in him is not condemned, but the one who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus tells us that the difference in the judgment is this: it's faith. Those that believe in the name of the Son of God, those that trust in Jesus as their Savior, will not be condemned, but those that do not believe shall be condemned in the judgment. And so we might say to ourselves, okay, I got this, Pastor. We need to have faith in Jesus, and then I'm prepared, then I'm ready. I can move on with the rest of my life, right? A number of years ago, when we used to live down in Florida, I remember I was in the backyard one day and started to having a conversation with my neighbor over the fence. And we were talking about different things, sharing details about our families and things like that. And eventually we got on the topic of religion, and I asked him point blank, you know, are you a Christian? And he said to me, yes, yeah, of course, we're a Christian family. But, you know, we know, Matt, that you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You know, we know that it's important for us to love our neighbor and to be kind, and as long as we do those things, we're going to go to heaven. You know, after I had that conversation with him that day, I got thinking. I bet that my neighbor probably grew up going to church. Probably at one time he firmly believed what the Bible says concerning the way of salvation, that we are saved by grace through faith and not by our works. Maybe even went to Sunday school. Maybe even went to confirmation class. But over the course of time he began to probably think to himself, is it really necessary that I go to church? Don't I know all that stuff? Don't I know the way of salvation? Isn't there so much more for me to do with my life? I can still be a Christian, and I don't need to go to church. But what happened? What happened during those intervening years? Well, he didn't know what he didn't know. Over the course of time, what he thought was the way of salvation began to change as he wasn't reminded through God's word how we are saved. He wasn't reminded of his sin and his sinful condition. He wasn't reminded of the necessity of having faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he fell in line with the ways of the world, believing the way to have favor with God is through what we do. And he thought that simply by being loving and kind to his fellow man, he would be acceptable before God on the day of the final judgment. But let me be honest with you today, that will not cut it. As Jesus tells us in his word, that those who believe in the Son will not be condemned, but those who do not believe will be condemned because they do not believe in the one that God has sent to provide salvation for our souls. So how important is it for us to prepare for that day? How important to prepare, especially by regularly coming to hear God's word, and not just to hear it with our ears, but to digest it, to think about it in our minds and hearts, and to apply it to ourselves. But when it comes to preparing for Christ's return, it was up to us. We would never make it. We would never be ready. Thanks be to God that he, though, took time to prepare our salvation. We think of all of the planning that went into that. Your salvation, what did it take? Well, it took planning way back, even before the creation of the world, that God planned how he was going to save you. He planned that he was going to have to send his son at Christmas time, that baby born in the manger, and that son would live a holy and perfect life, that he would endure the ridicule and so much suffering in this world, the rejection of human beings, that ultimately he would be hung on a cross and he would suffer there. But God prepared more for him and more for you, that he knew what it would take to buy your redemption. He knew what it would take to save you, to spare you in the judgment. He knew that he would also have to bring his judgment upon his son on the cross, that he would have to forsake him, that his son would have to suffer and die for the sins that you committed, For those times when you didn't think it was that important for you to focus on God and His Word. For those times that you just fell in line with the things of this world and those things were more important than the things of God. He knew that His Son would have to suffer for those things and those sins. But there's more. God also planned from eternity that He would raise His Son to life from the dead to show and prove that your sins were forgiven. But there's more. He also planned that in time He would send His Holy Spirit to work through water and the Word to bring you to faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. He did that, not you. But there's more. He also planned that through the Holy Spirit, He would be at work through the preaching of His Word, the receiving of His sacraments, that He would work to strengthen your faith and keep you close to Him until that day when He appears in glory. And there's more even yet. That He has prepared a place for you forever in heaven, and He is planning to bring you to be with Him forever in glory on that final day of Christ's return. And so He encourages us now, be ready. You know, the final illustration Jesus uses in our lesson for today is one that we can perhaps relate to. As we think about a homeowner, as he makes mention, if a homeowner knows when somebody's going to break into his house, he's going to stay awake to make sure that doesn't happen. He's going to make sure that doesn't happen to protect his family, to protect his things. But even if a homeowner doesn't know the exact moment when someone's going to break into his house, won't he still stay awake if he knows that someone is eyeing the house? Won't he still stay awake even if he doesn't know the day or the hour? And so God encouraged us as well, too, that Christ is coming. Christ could come at any moment. We could be taken from this life at any moment. So realize how important it is to stay close to our Savior, Jesus Christ, to stay close to Him through His Word and through His sacrament, and realize through those things the Holy Spirit is at work, strengthen you in your faith and keeping you close to your Savior, because He has that plan to bring you to be with Him forever in heaven. You know, it's good for us to make preparations when it comes to Christmas. It's good for us to buy our gifts and put up our decorations so we can have a wonderful celebration of our Savior's birth, that huge event when Christ came to this earth, He came to live and to die for us. Let's not just make preparations to celebrate Christmas, though. Let us also be prepared every day of our lives for Christ's return in glory. And like Noah and his family, to stay close to God and to His Word, to treasure those words until the very day when He comes to bring us our eternal salvation and take us home to be with Him forever in heaven. Amen. I invite the congregation to please rise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.